And at the time, we hadn't really raised capital. And so we didn't have this big cushion to float the business, you know, in that regard at the time. So ultimately, I remember that Friday after it all passed, I was able to kind of take the step back and accept, you know, I don't know if you've ever read The Surrender Experiment, but it's a great book. Michael Singer, he's an incredible kind of meditation thought leader. And it's just like, you just kind of, when you let it go all of a sudden and surrender, you know, the universe kind of helps you see other things. And I surrendered to what was happening because, you know, I can't stop a global pandemic. And that unlocked, I think, a lot of the creativity that helped us get through.
And now from San Francisco and the UCSF Rosenman Institute, the Health Technology Podcast with your host, Christine Winoto.
Our guest today is Karine Carney, co-founder and CEO of Origin, a women's health company that provides physical therapy for the common but overlooked condition known as pelvic floor dysfunction. Karine is a go-to market leader in healthcare and technology and has held leadership roles at companies including Amino, Shapeways, and Monitor Group. In this episode, Karine discusses the basics of pelvic floor health, how she overcame her imposter syndrome, and how Origin weathered the COVID storm. She advocates for increased education on the pelvic floor and for bringing change to the healthcare system from the inside out. Here's that conversation. Well, welcome, Karine. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to have you here, and I'm looking forward to learning about your journey and share that with our listener. I briefly look at your, you know, you have such an rich experiences before starting Origin Way, and maybe you can tell us more about your background and the lesson learned along the way that shape who you are today.
Sure. And please stop me if it's getting, you know, too long, but I'm grateful to have had, you know, a little bit of a different journey to get to this point. I grew up in LA. Both my parents are from Israel and they both were small business owners. And so I was always around the startup, but maybe the old school sense. And I had this entrepreneurial instinct, but it didn't really fully come to fruition until much later in life. I went to Penn undergrad and I studied econ and just got down this path of, okay, I'm going to go work in New York and work in consulting and, you know, go get a real job and, you know, pay off this mountain of student loans. And management consulting, you know, had its challenges, obviously, but it was such an amazing way to both learn so much, but also satiate this curiosity that I have about understanding industries and how businesses work and how decisions get made. And I actually joined this company called Monitor Group, which is now part of Deloitte, in 2008, right as the recession was happening. And so that was this fundamental rethink of all of these old industries. And one that we were particularly working a lot in was digital media. And digital at the time was capital D digital. It was this new kind of shiny, scary thing. All of these companies, retailers, media companies were trying to figure out, you know, how do we bring our businesses into this next generation? And I had the privilege of being able to spin out our digital media practice with a few of the partners in 2009, 2010. And so kind of went from 50,000 feet to 30,000 feet in terms of the work we were doing and, you know, building websites and getting much, you know, rolling up my sleeves. But it still felt not tangible enough. And I graduated college pretty young. I was 21. And so I was, you know, in my early 20s when I was doing this, advising, you know, big CEOs. And I was like, I don't think I'm necessarily the person to be giving advice. I've never really done anything with my life. So let's actually get some real tangible experience. And I had been talking to one of my colleagues and I had seen this video that came out of the MIT Media Lab about the sixth sense. And it was really all about AR, VR at the time, you know, really early days. And I just fell in love with technology and emerging technology and what that could mean for communication and businesses and, you know, kind of totally geeked out. And so I just started applying to a bunch of different startups in New York. And I was this person who had no tangible experience at the time. So no one would hire me. I tried to start my own company with a few friends. And that was, you know, a I'm trying to think about the euphemisms I can use. It was a challenge and didn't work out. But it was a great learning experience just to understand what it really took to bring an idea from simple idea to concept and ultimately to market. Mm-hmm. And I finally, after a couple of years of really trying to get into the startup industry from so many different avenues, learned about 3D printing and decided that it was just this really incredible way to democratize manufacturing. And I fell in love with the technology and I learned about this company called Shapeways, which in an exciting turn of events actually announced that they're going public yesterday. So it feels like this vision's finally coming to life. And thank you. It's fun. You never really know what happens at the end of the tunnel. But I wrote a blog post and I sent it to the CEO. And I just said, like, I see your vision. Please hire me. I know I don't look like this person on paper, but I'm gonna help you build this company. And he took a chance on me. And so I'm really forever grateful for that opportunity. It was how I learned about what it meant to scale businesses. We were about 20 people at the time, 200 when I left, you know, tens of millions in revenue. And I had the privilege of building our marketing, our e-commerce, our community teams, and really actually working with a global community to elevate and build this category. And that was where I just learned so much. I learned about board dynamics. I got to be in the room with some of the greats from Union Square Ventures and A16Z. And it was a really incredible experience. And on a more personal note, I think one of the biggest learnings for me was how I got through the imposter syndrome, being a relatively young woman in the room with a lot of men and a lot of older men, especially in the early days. I had a very hard time understanding that I was a VP of marketing. I'm sitting at the table, and I'll never forget this coaching session I had with Jerry Colonna, who's one of the really most incredible coaches in the country. He's behind the Reboot team. And he just looked at me and he said, "Corinne, there's a table and there's a chair and it's your chair. So are you going to sit in it? Because if you don't sit in it, someone else will." And it was this moment where I realized I don't need permission, you know, anymore, that I really had to take the reins and, you know, develop that internal confidence. And that was a really big shift for me. So, you know, flash forward about 4 years into the company, I decided to move back to California where my family was, and my partner at the time was finishing business school, and decided to go to San Francisco. And I had met a founder, David Vivero, who is really one of the most exceptional leaders I've ever worked with. He founded RentJuice, which is now part of Zillow, and was trying to bring that same democratization of information that happened to real estate, but to healthcare. Mm-hmm. And I love healthcare. I had done a lot of healthcare cases at Monitor, but I was also very skeptical about what change could look like in the industry. And especially when I was working in the industry in 2008, it felt like it was still stagnant. It hadn't yet had this rejuvenation that I think we're all seeing, you know, in the last 10 years. And I saw David's vision and really this problem we were trying to solve, that most people can't even afford $500 medical bill that's happening. And it's happening to them oftentimes because they're choosing providers that are misaligned. They're walking to the ER instead of going to a primary care doctor, or they're going to see a lower quality provider.
But that's not origin way. That is something.
No.
Right.
Totally
right.
Different. Yeah. So, sure. Yeah. It's a company called Amino. So I helped, it was pre-launch, joined the team, launched that business, and was with them for a few years, and also learned a ton about just how complex healthcare actually is and how much it takes. So, you know, that's a long way of saying I had a windy road of following a lot of curiosity, but ultimately, the big why for me throughout all of those experiences was technology and business, when used well, can actually unlock human potential. It can remove these barriers. It can give people more access. It can shift how we see the world. And when I decided to, you know, part ways with Amino, I moved back down to LA and I took time off for the first time in my life. What a gift. I blew through all my savings. So that was a little scary, but I really needed a reset. And I had been going through some personal issues at the time, health-wise, and I didn't ever take the time to pause and reflect on that. And that was the beginning of ultimately what's now Origin. And happy to share that story. Yeah.
That's great. So you mentioned about the imposter. I think, you know, somehow we women, I mean, we hear that more among women. And I think, your experience, your first job in a consulting firm, that's, you know, that's always the first, you know, it reminds me of my investment.
Yeah.
Advice. I'm like, really? But it's kind of, we bring different role.
Exactly.
And I think sometimes we forget.
Yeah. And it really, that conversation with Jerry was so life-changing for me, because I realized that obviously I was in a position of privilege where no one was putting these blocks in front of you, right? So there are a lot of people who might have imposter syndrome, but they're actually working in environments where they're stifled, or, you know, they're not heard, or they're not given a platform. And that's much harder to break through, because you really have to kind of clear the clutter and, you know, tune out those voices and get through. For me, I was really around people who were supporting me. And so that was just such a gift to be able to kind of diminish that voice. And I still have some days where, you know, I have no idea what I'm doing, you know, every day at startup, you're kind of making it up as you go along. But now I view it from a place of fun and curiosity and learning versus fear.
Right. I think that's when you don't know what you're doing, it means you're learning new thing.
Exactly.
And sometimes we forget about the flip side of thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought it was interesting that what you reach out to the startup, the 3D printing company that,
yeah,
I'm not qualified, but, you know, you send them the write-up. I mean, one of the things I think you enjoy a lot is writing.
Yeah.
What is it in there that you said that convinced them that you did that for him or her to take the chance?
You know, as you said, I love to write. And for me, writing is really just clear communication, and it helps me process my thinking. And I think what that company, what Shapeways was struggling with at the time, was they were trying to convince the world that 3D printing is going to be this new way of making products at scale. You know, we had this massive vision that everyone could create their own products. They can bring their ideas to life at a fraction of the cost. And that was a communication challenge, because you have to educate consumers, you have to educate manufacturers, you have to educate the market and actually inspire people to see that same vision. And I don't think there was anyone on the team, although the founders definitely had the vision, but they didn't know how to translate that into a way that most people could understand. And so I think part of it was I was applying for a marketing community role. Yeah. So I said, you know, let me see if I captured what's in your head, you know, and I think that was enough of a spark for the founder, Pete, to say, okay, I see that you see what I see. And it was good enough for the conversation, where also, you know, so much of the startup world is about hustle and grit and, you know, carving paths when there's no path. And so I think he also appreciated just, you know, the kind of ballsy move there.
Yeah, no, I think it's also, you know, really thoughtful. Sometimes you hear people who look for a job, they just send out hundreds of resumes everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But really what you're doing is really customize it to what the persons need to hear from you.
Yeah.
And what they want to hear. So
it was also a moment of desperation. You know, I'd been looking for a break for 2 years. So I was kind of like, please, I'm going to try anything, whatever it takes. So, you know, I think innovation comes sometimes when you have those constraints too.
Right. So, so fast forward, and maybe you can tell us a little bit about what is Origin Way.
Yeah.
And we can continue the conversation.
Sure. So today in the US alone, over 40 million women are experiencing what's called pelvic floor dysfunction, or the full body issues that occur around pregnancy and menopause. And pelvic floor dysfunction is really everything from incontinence to painful sex to prolapse, all of these health conditions that can occur from birth injury, but they can also occur if you're a CrossFit athlete and, you know, you have a lot of pressure on your pelvic floor, or if you're going through menopause and your muscles are weakening. And these are really real healthcare issues that impact, you know, 1 in 3 adult women. Oftentimes when it goes unaddressed, women end up in surgeries or, you know, are living really discomfortable lives. You know, I actually experienced painful sex for nearly a decade in my 20s. And impacts 1 in 6 women. I saw 8 different doctors and 2 biopsies, and they just said, well, maybe they'll go away over time. Mm-hmm. And so our healthcare system historically has not been designed to treat these issues. And that's because to treat them, physical therapy is actually the first line evidence-based non-invasive approach. And so what Origin is ultimately trying to do is democratize access to this kind of treatment so that women are no longer living in pain, they're no longer suffering in silence, and that we can just destigmatize these issues so women can get the care they need and not end up, you know, having a surgery in their 30s or 40s, much unnecessarily. And this really started, you know, when I was taking that time off and I realized, you know, this issue that I had had in my 20s was related to my now co-founder, who's an old friend. She had just had a baby and she 5 months later was having neck and shoulder pain and she was having incontinence and painful sex. And her doctor was just like, you know, I'll see you at your 12-month mark now. And she wasn't getting any care. And this is also someone who has some of the best health insurance in the country. And yet, you know, why is there no referral source? What's actually happening? So we started looking at the research and learned about PT and how in France, every woman gets 10, you know, sessions of what they call pelvic floor re-education after they give birth. And in many other countries too, there's far more preventative things happening during your pregnancy to help you understand your body and change. And so we decided to partner with a clinical team here in LA, and that's the beginning of what's now Origin.
So maybe help us understand pelvic floor. It seems like a funny term. And maybe you know, some of our listeners might not even heard about that. Like what is pelvic floor? And when you have that, you know, pain, like what does that mean?
Totally. So, okay, the pelvic floor, and I didn't, for all the listeners out there who don't know they have a pelvic floor, you are not alone. I was one of them.
It's a funny name to use.
Yeah, you know, the pelvic floor is essentially the set of muscles and connective tissue that are at the core, the center of your body's universe. It holds up your organs, your reproductive organs. It holds up your bladder, your bowels. And so, you know, as you think about, as you age, if you have bladder problems or incontinence, or you go to the bathroom too often, like these are the muscles that make you function, you know, from a continence standpoint. They are responsible for sexual function. They're responsible for actual lymph and blood movement in your organs. And they're also responsible for core stability. So in the same way that you talk about your back, let's say as a, you know, group of muscles and, you know, a whole system, the pelvic floor is really just another part of your musculoskeletal system. And it's actually having a little bit of a moment today because I think so many women in particular end up A, having this dysfunction, and B, as more and more women are actually doing potentially more yoga or more exercise, that, you know, they're understanding the benefits of what, you know, historically was just known as Kegels, like let's just strengthen it. You know, it's actually, it's where we store a lot of stress and a lot of trauma as well. And so PT is really a way to both understand what's happening with those muscles and then either alleviate the pain or help you strengthen once you're trying to, you know, once you're ready to move on from that.
Okay. And so in what way does Origin Way address women, help women with this sort of issues?
So we exclusively focus on physical therapy for the pelvic floor and women's health issues. So we treat the whole body because the whole body is connected, right? So you could actually have back pain that's also connected to your pelvic floor pain, or you might have, as I was saying, neck and shoulder pain from carrying your baby. But we're really supporting women through every stage of life with a deep understanding of the unique anatomy and hormonal changes that women go through throughout those stages of life. And we'll do one-on-one physical therapy, and that can include therapeutic exercise, manual therapy, so hands-on work if it's needed. We also do education is such a core component because most people don't understand their own anatomy. So we're helping women understand the root causes. And ultimately, just, you know, develop a plan of care aligned with goals. So someone might come to us, you know, in their early 20s and they're running and they're doing CrossFit and they're leaking every time they run. So we would help them understand what's happening, treat that, and then ultimately get them back to safe function and exercise. We'll work with patients who are early in their pregnancy and they want to have a safe labor and delivery. And they also want to continue to exercise. And so we'll help them prepare more from a wellness standpoint. And we see in the research that actually you'll have better birth and delivery outcomes if you do this muscle strengthening early, or, you know, all the way through menopause. And so we're really trying to design a physical therapy and expert care program that supports women and helps them understand that. And we do that both in clinics, but also virtually through telehealth.
This podcast is sponsored by Brown Rutnick's Global Life Sciences Group, a team of legal professionals that help life science companies, lenders, and investors around the world turn good science into good business. Learn more at brownrudnick.com. This podcast is also sponsored by Canon Quality Group. Canon Quality Group has been helping med tech startups set up quality management systems for over 10 years. If you're unsure when to get started with quality management in your startup, turn to the experts at canonqualitygroup.com.
So how is your technology or your platform different from patients when they just go to see their OB?
Yeah, so OBs are experts in the reproductive organs, and we work very closely with OBs. So we are referred to, you know, our patients are referred to us by OBs or your gynecologist all the time. But OBs are not actually doing the pelvic floor strengthening and actual treatment themselves. So they're catching issues and they're often diagnosing these issues, but we're the counterpart to that care.
So how is it? I mean, obviously, physical therapy in this space is not new. And what makes Origin Way different in helping women in this case?
You know, it's really crazy. I always ask myself, why isn't this all over the country? Because you have, you know, so many people experiencing this issue. And the truth is, this care exists, but for the most part, it's offered in an out-of-network cash pay setting. The market looks a lot like mental health 10 years ago when if you wanted to see a great provider, it's a couple hundred dollars a session. It's really cost prohibitive. And so I think that is one of the biggest points of differentiation that we take a lot of pride in is patient access. So from day one, we got contracted with the most prominent commercial carriers in California. We don't take Medicare or Medicaid yet, but that's on the roadmap. And we really want to make this affordable. So it's, you know, depending on your copay, it's little as $0. You know, on average, patients are paying $30 out of pocket. So this isn't something that, you know, for some population is going to break the bank, and it's at least more accessible. So that's one big piece. The second is that a lot of pelvic floor work is done not in spaces that feels conducive to healing. And by that, I mean, you're going to go see someone, maybe, you know, if you're seeing someone who's a cash-based provider, that's fine. And it's typically a small intimate space. But if you want to use insurance, you're going to a hospital system and you're going to an outpatient clinic. And you're sitting next to someone who just had knee surgery, and you're talking about your sex life and you know, the trauma you had from labor and delivery and all of these other things. And there's such a deep connection to behavioral health and mental health in what we do that safety and security and just the ability to have trust with your provider is really key. And so we've designed our spaces for that intimate type of care. And all of our providers are exclusively focusing on these issues. And so they're uniquely trained also in trauma. You know, most of our patients, if they're having pelvic floor dysfunction, unfortunately have some level of trauma. One of our PTs says, whether it's capital T or lowercase T, you know, this, even just this idea that I didn't know what was happening to my body, you know, and I thought I was going to be in pain like this for the rest of my life is incredibly traumatic. So, you know, we really try to have this safe, inclusive, and women-only space. So those are two of the biggest changes. And the third is technology. So, you know, a lot of PT still run using really outdated tech, and we're building out a really beautiful, fully integrated platform that, you know, makes us feel like wellness and something that you want to do versus something that you have to do.
And so I assume with that kind of activity, then you behave like any other existing therapies out there, is you build that relationship with the OBGYN so that you get more referral your way.
Yeah. Although, you know, for us, we also act as a direct-to-consumer company. So in California specifically, and in many other states, there's what's called direct access laws for physical therapy. So you can start working with a PT before you have a referral, which is great because, you know, to navigate the referral maze can be challenging. So we work really closely with medical providers. We have, you know, in California over now 500 referring providers. But we also work closely with doulas and fitness instructors and local brands. And, you know, we have a really high NPS of 96, and that obviously signals that patients are telling their friends. And what we often hear is just that this care is so life-changing that our patients just want to talk about it. And so we're able to actually, you know, just support them through their referral without a really formal program in place.
And I feel like doing this Origin way, in your past experience in, you know, creating the spinoff from Monitor, doing strategic analysis, market analysis, it kind of, you had all the right ingredients to execute the Origin way.
Yeah. I feel really lucky. Honestly, I just, even as I think about it, I wake up every day and I'm like, pinch me. Am I actually doing this work? You know, we're fundamentally, I think, from the inside out, changing the healthcare system. And that was always my vision. You know, I've seen a lot of outside in approaches and I respect those, but it's really hard. And this is just so obvious and needs to exist. And I feel grateful that, you know, my skills can help bring that to light. But more than that, I'm really excited about team building, because for a lot of the providers who do this work, you know, most PT large chains and practices are operated in a way that I think are not necessarily aligned with kind of inclusive and more progressive values. And if you're a really strong physical therapist in women's health, oftentimes at the height of your career, you're becoming a mother and you want flexibility. And you also have these other challenges where it's hard for you to grow your business as this, you know, small independent practitioner. And so I think about it as, how do we lift all boats in this industry and just elevate these incredible clinicians who are truly game changers in women's lives, but don't necessarily have the capital or time or expertise to scale on their own.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like you're creating a company where bringing all the primary care providers.
Yeah.
So as like any startup, you know, before they hit, you know, success, they went through a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, the ups is usually pretty high. The down can be really low as well. Can you share with us, do you have any almost near-death experience?
Oh,
not
yeah.
as a company, and what do you learn from it?
Yeah, I'm like, which one do you want to share first? You know, I think the first year for me was really, really hard. And I've, you know, been in a lot of early stage startups, but I think being kind of a co-founder, CEO, you take on a lot in that first year. And I'm newer to the physical therapy world. I'd been in digital healthcare, but this was a lot of new learnings. And we kind of went from 0 to 60 with this practice we partnered with really quickly. So, you know, I had to learn a lot very quickly. And that, I love learning new things, but I felt like the steep learning curves were just, it was, you know, all things every day, all the time. I didn't know. And so that was just, it was not a near-death experience, but that was a moment of, okay, this is just going to be a really hard year and it will pass. I think the other kind of scariest moment was COVID, to be honest. So we had been operating in a small location for some period of time. We were in the midst of building out a beautiful 4,000 square foot facility in Brentwood, which was obviously, you know, a big space and expensive lease. COVID happened. At the time, thought it was going to be a few week thing. And so me and our head of ops and our, you know, clinical director sat in a room and we tried to think about it. It was like, okay, I'm going to create the scheduling plan so we can have, you know, not as many people here at the same time. And we probably came up with three different plans over the course of, you know, this 1 week in March, and then finally emerged from the room with all the pieces on the wall of, okay, we're good. We figured this out. And then, you know, the mayor shut down LA, and then, you know, the governor shut down California. And I had a moment where I realized, like, I'm actually not in control of this thing. And that was terrifying, because I think as a founder, you have to believe that you can do anything, right? You're like, okay, this is a problem. It's going to go away. I'm going to will it into existence, you know? And it hit me so hard, and I took it so personally at first, that, you know, we shut down the clinic for a couple months. We had to launch telehealth really quickly. Like, you know, we were pivoting the business, and it ultimately, you know, the silver lining is it unlocked a huge growth for us in terms of digital care. And I can share about that too. But at that moment, I felt powerless, and I felt so deeply personally responsible for what was happening to our team, which at the time was, you know, 25 people, a lot of young individuals who, you know, don't necessarily have a financial safety net. And I just felt personally devastated that there wasn't anything I can do about it. And at the time, we hadn't really raised capital. And so we didn't have this big cushion to float the business, you know, in that regard at the time. So ultimately, I remember that Friday after it all passed, I was able to kind of take the step back and accept, you know, I don't know if you've ever read The Surrender Experiment, but it's a great book. Michael Singer, he's an incredible kind of meditation thought leader. And it's just like, you just kind of, when you let it go all of a sudden and surrender, you know, the universe kind of helps you see other things. And I surrendered to what was happening because, you know, I can't stop a global pandemic. And that unlocked, I think, a lot of the creativity that helped us get through. But that was a week for sure.
I think you mentioned earlier, about when you're in the desperate mode, that's when your creativity can happen. And obviously you seize that moment and you unlock a lot of things. And when is that aha moment? It's like, did you just like keep thinking, or is like you, how do you bring about this new pivoting?
Yeah. You know, the first thing that happened was before that dreadful week, we had already seen the writing on the wall that telehealth, we would need to have some sort of virtual offering. And we had no online booking at the time, and we had no virtual offering at the time, in part because physical therapy wasn't being reimbursed virtually at all. So there was no insurance coverage. That changed over the kind of by April, end of April, most of the payers were reimbursing. But in early March, I sat down with our head of ops and I was like, okay, in the next 2 weeks, we need to figure out online booking and telehealth, because this is going to be, you know, some part of our business. And in 48 hours, we got that up and running. And so we were really kind of lucky, and I really credit her to just her ability to move fast to get that going. And so we were set up that by the time we did decide we had to shut down for it temporarily, we had that virtual care going, and we were able to maintain our caseload and, you know, actually keep our team employed to some extent. So that was kind of this big first pivot. And then I think the second was about a couple weeks into March, as this was all happening, I hadn't even launched the brand yet. So we had been sitting on this brand. I had all this beautiful branding. I was going to launch it with the opening of this new beautiful clinic. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, well, we're launching virtual care. I'm doing all these community programs. We started doing free classes and just starting to build, you know, actual connections to our patients. And they're all getting to know this old company name. Let's just get this brand out there. And so we built a website in 3 weeks, me and a, you know, independent designer and, you know, a developer in the Ukraine. And that actually, I think, ignited so much more inspiration in our patients, in the broader community, and just it helped people see the vision of what we were trying to do. And that feedback loop just kind of snowballed into so much more over the coming months.
Well, that's great. It's great to see something that through adversity, we become bigger and stronger. So thank you for sharing your story. And I think that's good luck. And it seems like you're on the right path to solving this problem.
It's fun. There was an article in The Guardian this morning saying, like, why is everyone talking about the pelvic floor? What is this part of our body? So, you know, I think it still feels, you know, niche to some people, but I'm just so passionate about this education now, because I'm sure, you know people too. So many women are experiencing these issues and these big milestones in our lives, like maternity or menopause, that, you know, in part could be celebrated. There's just still so much stigma around them because we don't actually talk about the full reality. So I'm hopeful that at minimum we'll change the conversation. In other news, I'm in a big fight right now with Facebook because they've been blocking a lot of our educational content because it's too explicit. So even an illustrated diagram of the pelvic floor is considered, you know, a violation of a content policy. And so we have a ways to go. But you know, I'm excited to see a shift in this dialogue, and it starts with individuals just talking about their own stories.
Yeah, that's true. I never heard about pelvic floor until maybe 3 years ago when I was one of the company talking like, we're going to solve this problem in a pain in the because of the pelvic floor. Like, we have a floor.
That was exactly.
So I'm just like, I'm till this day, I'm still imagining there's like a floor.
Yeah. I'll send you, I can send you a 101 if we want to put it, you know, next to the podcast so people can just see it. I'm a visual learner, so I didn't even understand it.
That would be great.
For me.
Yeah. I think that would be good to help the part of the education piece.
Exactly.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Health Technology Podcast. We want to thank our executive producer, Herminio Neto, our content writer, Kelly Muscat, and our podcast engineer, Andrew Rojek. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave a review. The Health Technology Podcast is available on all major platforms.